Welcome back to Equal Time. We're talking for the rest of the hour, continuing our conversation with Eric Brende, the author of Better Off, Flipping the Switch on Technology.
This is a rebroadcast of an interview originally conducted on July 20th.
Eric, you told me that your master's thesis at MIT was on depression and technology, and you also took up some aspects of it that we didn't really cover in our conversation with Steve Ilardi. Could you briefly summarize those?
Well, I did mention it slightly when I said that my thesis was not so much that you can't get exercise or you can't have social contact or you can't get sunlight, but that in our modern compartmentalized society, supposedly compartmentalized in the name of efficiency, those things have been fragmented. And they've been broken down into, our whole life has been broken down into its constituent parts. And to go back and recover all those pieces, as Dr. Ilardi pointed out, takes a huge amount of effort. So ironically, it's actually become effort to get exercise. and in the with the Amish, all of those things were integrated, so they were whole. And wholeness has become very popular today, the concept of wholeness. Everyone talks about whole food, for example. And the idea of a whole food, of course, is that you get your roughage along with the more savory aspects of the food all in one bite. And I'd say the same thing is true about what I would call whole experience, that you're not only getting the fun or the frosting of the experience, but you're getting the roughage, you're getting the kind of the hard-to-chew parts that are good for you all in the same bite, when you're engaging in an Amish-like way of life. Hmm. And that's the beauty of it.
Hmm. Well, Eric Brende, you are not anti-technology. Your search for the right amount of technology, the right amount of labor-saving devices, led you to spend a year and a half with this Amish-like community. Can you tell us what you concluded after that time?
Well, what I concluded was, as you say, that technology itself is not the enemy. Technology itself is not evil. The challenge comes in selecting the right amount and adapting it to our lives, not making our lives the slaves of technology, adapting it to our needs. So I'd say, ultimately, it's not even a technological question. It's a question of how do you organize your life. And here in St. Louis, where my family and I now live, we have tried to adapt the lessons of our experience amongst the Amish to a modern technological and urban existence. And we're doing so rather successfully. It's not quite as easy as it was amongst the Amish. There are roadblocks on the way. But I'd say the main thing has to do with how you organize your life as a whole. Instead of, for example, ordering our lives to our careers. Most people have these careers and everything else takes second place. We consider ourselves to be householders, urban householders, and the need to make money is subsumed within the larger goal of running a household. And I might point out that the word household is embedded in the word economics. The Greek root of the word economics is oikos, which means household. So the word economy originally actually just meant household management. So we're going back to the root of economics in the way we structure our lives here in St. Louis. We run a soap making business out of our house, and we sell our soap at a farmer's market that's about a mile away, the Soulard Farmer's Market. It's the oldest farmer's market west of the Mississippi.
Do you commute by bicycle to the farmer's market?
Yeah. Well, we have a car. We have a 1983 Honda that we use mainly for that purpose, to get our soap over there.
Mm.
But if we can't use it, there have been times when I use my rickshaw. And that's the other thing I do to make money. It's another way of building exercise and social contact into my work. I drive a rickshaw downtown St. Louis, which is about a mile from my house, and sometimes I use the rickshaw to transport soap to the farmer's market as well.
Mm-hmm. That must bring a lot of people over to your stand when you have the rickshaw parked there.
Well, I usually just drop it off and then go back. My wife, I make the soap at home, and my wife sells it.
Mm.
So I'm not there. And most people around here still use the car as their primary form of transportation, so I'm not shuttling them back and forth to the farmer's market by rickshaw.
Mm. So when you looked around at the end of your year and a half living among the Amish, you decided that you had more time in your life there than in Boston, your previous place you'd live. How did that work?
Well, again, to go back to what I said about the virtue of wholeness, when you integrate the various vital components of your life into a single whole, so they're all part of the same fabric of experience, you're doing simultaneously many things that most people have to do sequentially. They have to do one after the other, and that just takes more time.
Your wife got more time with her mother during that year and a half than when she lived an hour from her.
Right. That's an example right out of the book. Here in St. Louis, I would say that, oddly enough, I probably have more disposable income than people who maybe earn five times more money than I do and have much more leisure time, simply because we have cut out all of those little extraneous trips and all those little extraneous activities that you have to undertake if you don't lead a whole life.
Like what, for example?
Well, since exercise is built into our daily life, I don't have to take a trip to the gym. Since our children are involved in our livelihood, they're here with us all the time. We're either homeschooling them, or they're helping us with household projects, or they're just hanging around reading books or playing with toy soldiers while we work on our projects. We don't have to schedule separate quality time events with our children. We don't have to take them on pleasure trips. Our lives with our children, it's part of our daily experience. And the same thing with the out of doors. We are in the process of developing a very beautiful kind of a backyard oasis with trellises and pergolas and decks and arbors that we're going to have a very complex vertical garden in the backyard. And so nature is going to be integrated into our daily experience, which means that we don't have to, we won't feel this need to get away for the weekend to go on a nature outing right here.
Hmm. Well, we're almost out of time. Do you have any final words for us, Eric Brenda?
I have so many things to say, I can't think of which one to say first. But I think a lot of people say, where do I begin? And one thing, I think if I were to say where you could begin, the first place to begin is in your transportation. If you can find a way to reduce your need of the car, that comes first. And one way to do it is not just to think in terms of a bicycle, but to be as serious about your bicycle as you are with a car. And most people don't realize, for example, you can get deep double rear foldable bicycle baskets that are big enough each to hold a full sack of groceries.
Your bicycle becomes a car. Eric Brenda, the
yes.
author of Better Off, Flipping the Switch on Technology, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Mom and Grandma's prescription is for an omega-3 rich diet, exercise, plenty of natural sunlight, lots of sleep, meet your friends, and don't ruminate on negative thoughts. It's all things our ancestors had in abundance. Both clinical results and the story of one family living among the Amish say the same thing. As oil is less available to provide us with labor-saving devices, so-called, maybe we'll enjoy that life more than what we're doing today in our technology-driven world.
I'm Carl Ettenayer, and that's it for today's Equal Time. This has been a rebroadcast of interviews from July 20th. I'll be back live next Monday. We'll talk about ways Vermont is planning to secure its food and energy future, developing both a state food strategy and a biomass energy strategy. The main guest will be State Representative Chris Bray, who's helped shape both those initiatives. Enjoy the rest of your Labor Day, and thanks for tuning in.